You're listening to an African Elements top news story for March 17, 2026. Please visit our website at africanelements.org for more daily news. Why Alabama spared a black man from death row at last minute. On March 10, 2026, Alabama Governor Kay Ivey made a choice that shocked the legal world. She stopped the execution of Charles Sonny Burton. He is a 75-year-old black man who spent over 30 years waiting for death. This decision came only 48 hours before the state planned to kill him. For many people, this was a rare moment of mercy in a state known for its harsh punishments. The move followed a massive wave of pressure from civil rights groups and even some of the people who originally convicted him. The story of Sonny Burton is not an isolated event. It is a window into the deep history of the American South. This history includes a long struggle with race and justice. The commutation of his sentence brings up many questions about how the law treats black defendants. It also highlights the growing divide between state leaders over who has the power to decide between life and death. While Donald Trump serves as the current president, these battles over state-level justice remain a focal point for national debate. The events that led Sonny Burton to death row began in 1991. He was involved in a robbery where a man named Dub Battle was killed. However, the details of the crime were always a point of contention. Burton did not pull the trigger. In fact, he was not even inside the building when the shooting happened. The man who actually killed Dub Battle was Derek DeBruce. This distinction is critical to understanding why the governor eventually stepped in. Derek DeBruce was also sentenced to death. However, his story took a different turn years ago. A federal appeals court looked at his case and found that his lawyer was not competent. The lawyer failed to mention that DeBruce had brain damage and low intelligence. He also did not tell the jury about the severe abuse DeBruce suffered as a child. Because of these failures, his death sentence was changed to life without parole. He died in prison in 2020. This left a strange and unfair situation. The actual killer was spared the death penalty, but his accomplice was still scheduled to die. Governor Ivey noted this in her final decision. She stated that she could not proceed in good conscience while the triggerman remained alive. This was only the second time she granted clemency during her entire time in office. This case serves as a powerful example of the mass incarceration issues that still plague the legal system today. The history of the death penalty in Alabama is deep and painful. Many historians point out that the legal system took over what used to be done by mobs. In the early 20th century, public lynchings were common in the South. To stop the chaos of mob violence, the state began to use legal executions more often. This allowed the racial hierarchy to stay in place while making the process look official and orderly. Between 1910 and 1950, 75% of the people executed in the South were black. This happened even though black people were a small minority of the population. This period of history shows how the legal system was used to maintain control. Even after the end of the Civil War, many systems were put in place to ensure that black labor and lives remained under state supervision. These systems often mirrored the involuntary servitude of earlier times. One of the most famous cases was the Scottsboro Boys in 1931. Nine black teenagers were accused of a crime they did not commit. They were sentenced to death by all-white juries. Even though the Supreme Court stepped in, the pattern of excluding black people from juries continued for decades. Prosecutors used many tricks to keep black residents from serving on trials. This history created a foundation of distrust that exists to this day. Alabama has recently become an outlier in the way it kills prisoners. In 2024, it became the first state to use nitrogen hypoxia. This method involves forcing a person to breathe pure nitrogen gas. This deprives the body of oxygen until the person dies. The state claimed this would be a quick and painless death. However, witnesses to these executions reported that prisoners suffered for a long time. International organizations have condemned this method. The United Nations called it a form of torture. Medical experts noted that even animals are not usually put down this way. They argue it causes panic and physical agony before the person loses consciousness. Sonny Burton was scheduled to die by this method at the age of 75. The thought of using such an experimental technique on an elderly man added to the public outcry. Advocates argued that using nitrogen hypoxia was human experimentation. They pointed out that there was no scientific proof that it was humane. During the 2024 execution of Kenneth Smith, witnesses said he writhed and convulsed for over 20 minutes. This grim reality made the governor's decision to stop Burton's execution even more significant. It prevented another potential disaster that would have drawn international shame to the state. The legal reason Sonny Burton was on death row is known as the felony murder rule. This rule is very strict in Alabama. It allows the state to charge someone with murder if a death happens during a felony. It does not matter if the person intended to kill anyone. It does not even matter if they were the one who held the weapon. Everyone involved in the original crime is seen as equally guilty. This rule has led to many controversial sentences. Critics argue that it is not fair to give the death penalty to someone who did not kill. They believe that the ultimate punishment should be reserved for the most violent offenders. In Burton's case, he was merely the lookout. Yet, he faced the same fate as the man who pulled the trigger. This creates many conflicting ideologies within the justice system about what fairness really means. The Supreme Court has tried to limit this rule in the past. In a case called Inmund v. Florida, the court said that executing an accomplice who did not intend to kill is unconstitutional. However, states like Alabama have found ways to keep using the death penalty in these cases. They argue that participation in a dangerous robbery shows a reckless disregard for life. This legal loophole has kept many non-shooters on death row for decades. Alabama is unique in how it handles jury decisions for the death penalty. In most states, every single juror must agree to a death sentence. In Alabama, the state only needs 10 out of 12 jurors to agree. This is the only state in the country that allows a non-unanimous vote for death. This rule has a huge impact on black defendants because it makes it easier to ignore the voices of minority jurors. Often, black residents are excluded from juries through peremptory strikes. These allow lawyers to remove jurors without giving a reason. Studies have shown that prosecutors use these strikes to remove black people at very high rates. Even when one or two black jurors do make it onto the panel, the 10-2 rule means their dissent can be ignored. The majority can simply outvote them to impose the death penalty. Until 2017, Alabama also had judicial override. This allowed a judge to change a jury's recommendation from life to death. Even if a jury voted for life, a judge could decide to execute the prisoner anyway. Over 100 people were sentenced to death this way. While this practice is now banned, the law did not help those already on death row. Many people remain there today because a single judge overrode a jury of their peers. The decision to spare Sonny Burton also highlights a political battle. In Alabama, the governor and the attorney general often disagree on justice. Attorney General Steve Marshall is known for being extremely tough on crime. He has pushed for more executions and defended the state's use of nitrogen gas. He often argues that the state has a duty to provide finality for the families of victims. When Governor Ivey grants clemency, it creates tension. Marshall has publicly criticized her decisions in the past. He believes that the courts have already decided these cases and that the governor should not interfere. This power struggle shows the internal conflict within the state government. One side focuses on the strict letter of the law. The other side occasionally looks at the broader picture of fairness and morality. The involvement of the victim's family was a key factor in this case. Doug Battle's daughter actually supported the push to save Burton's life. She joined several of the original jurors in asking for mercy. This group argued that killing the accomplice after the killer was spared made no sense. This support from the victim's side gave the governor the political cover she needed to act. It is much harder for an attorney general to argue for death when the victim's own family is asking for life. The commutation of Charles Sonny Burton's sentence is a major victory for those seeking justice reform. It does not mean that the death penalty is ending in Alabama. However, it does show that even the most conservative leaders can recognize when a situation is deeply unfair. The case highlights how racial bias, historical precedents, and experimental execution methods continue to shape the lives of Black Americans. For decades, the legal system in the South has struggled to move past its history of racial control. While progress is slow, moments like this offer a glimmer of hope. They remind the public that the law is not just about punishment. It should also be about consistency and fairness. As Alabama continues to use controversial methods and rules, the story of Sonny Burton will remain a powerful reminder of the work that still needs to be done. Justice is not only about the final verdict. It is about the long road of history that leads to the headlines we see today. Copyright, African Elements.